Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor here from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are tuning into God's frequency today. God has got a word for you today. All we need to do is go to where He's speaking. God is always broadcasting. What you and I need to do, again, I stress, is to tune into His frequency. Go to where God is speaking. And as that Mercy Me song goes, Word of God speak. We're going to tune in today to the Word of God. You're going to hear a message. Really, this will play the rest of this week. It's over 50 minutes long, so we'll split it up into three programs. And that is the trustworthiness of Scripture. You can trust your Bible. Every jot, every tittle, every dotted I and crossed T is accurate and true and faithful and inspired by God. We read that in the Bible. That's what we're going to look at here in this message. Here it is Wednesday. I invite you to church tonight. We'd love to see you. 6 o'clock tonight. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you're tuned in at 5:30, you guys still got 28 minutes now to come by the church here tonight. We are in Acts chapter 8 and perhaps chapter 9. We'd love to see you. Join us live on Facebook, Island Community Church, or join us right here in person. We'd love to meet you and see you. And I encourage you to worship with us. We worship God through the study of His Word and sitting under the authority of the Word of God. So, okay, we'd love to see you now. This is part one of this message, the trustworthiness of Scripture. Okay, today's sermon, the trustworthiness of Scripture. You know, there's no greater source of hope for you than this book right here. Your own personal Bible. Critics and naysayers for 2,000 years have tried to discount it, disprove it, disallow it, disbelieve it, and just plain diss it. Maybe that's where that word comes from, diss, right? No, 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 no. And of course, to ridicule it. I'll never forget the day I opened up the Florida Today newspaper and I read the editorial that day, which said anyone who believes that God created the universe, that person wouldn't go far in life. And that by believing that was harmful and that you wouldn't succeed. Talk about this. Even Satan himself, or I should say, especially Satan, hates the Word of God. Listen to these first four words ever spoken by the devil in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Look at how the Holy Spirit describes the devil as a snake. You know, we need to pray before we go on any further. Lord, we ask for your blessing. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name here this morning. We ask for your blessings now on the preaching and teaching and proclamation of your holy word. Lord, I pray that you would use me here this morning. Open my tongue, allow me to speak, and bless everyone here that's listening or those that are watching. Speak to everyone here today where we know that you speak. Through your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The King James reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
The English Standard Version says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field the Lord has made." Paul the Apostle warns us to beware of the wiles of the devil, like Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Now, with countless centuries of wisdom that this sinister minister has acquired, look at what he attacks. It says, "Has God indeed said?" Catch the word "indeed." That's designed to get you to pull a Leonard Nimoy or a Mr. Spock. You can just see it now, can't you? "Indeed." How does he do that anyway? Right? "Indeed." Up goes the eye. That's all you gotta say. "Indeed." Up goes the eyebrow. Same word the devil uses here. "Has God indeed said?" What did he attack? The word of God. And there's reason for that, church. There's a reason for that, for attacking the word. Because the word of God is your sword. The word of God is your only weapon out here in the world today. Now, I want to share a secret with you here today, and here it is. There's more to this book, your Bible, than meets the eye. This book is incredibly supernatural. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living," King James says, "quick, living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart." So those five things, it says, the word of God is living. That is, it's not dead. It wasn't just written 2,000 years ago and now it's dead. The word of God is alive. Haven't you noticed how you can read something for umpteen years and each time you read it, you receive something new? Because the word is alive. Every word, every jot and tittle, every dotted I, every cross T is the word of God. And it's faithful and it's true. Believe the whole Bible. So it's living. He said it's active like yeast. Active. You just soak this in like some yeast and some dough, and before you know it, your whole body's full of this from head to toe. It's active. The active ingredient is the word of God. Sharper. Notice it's not sharp, it's sharper. Sharper. And piercing. And it's also a judge. So alive, active, sharper. There's no greater weapon than this book, the word of God. The word of God pierces. The word of God penetrates even the toughest egg out here in the world today. I've seen some pretty tough hombres in my life. Some big, strong men crying on their knees before God. Because of the penetrating power of the living word, the word of God. Look at how deep the word penetrates. It says it divides soul and spirit. In other words, this is how deep the word of God penetrates. Everything you need to know is in this book. So let's look at some of the facts here of this book. I think there's four blanks on this, right? Number one. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the message," really this word here means preaching, "for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So the message, funny, the Greek word logos, proper name for Jesus. The logos of the cross, the Christ of the cross, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. It's not me, it's the Word. That's where the power is. Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," that's the words contained in this book, in the message of Jesus. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. On the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and preached the word of God to the people. He said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, when they heard this, they were cut deep and said, "What shall we do?" It says over 3,000 souls came to Christ on that day. How did this happen? Because the Word of God penetrated their hearts just like He promised it was going to be. The Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than anything out here. And it cuts like a knife. Ever been cut by something you read before in the Bible? Isn't it amazing how it does that? It'll show you your sin. And it'll show you the solution for your sin. Oh, it'll convict you, but then it'll show you the way out. What to do. Like these guys, what shall we do? Okay, point number two. There's power over the devil in the Word of God. There's power over the devil in the Word of God. If you guys would turn with me to Luke chapter 4, let's use the Lord Jesus for our guide, our role model, the one we shall copy regarding how to fight the enemy. All Jesus had to say to anyone is drop dead if that's what he wants, but he didn't do that. What he did, like when he was baptized, when he washed people's feet, he did these things for an example to show us how to do it. So look at what God the Son did when confronted with evil and with the devil. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 3. Now the devil said to him, now Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Bible says he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." All right, so what to do when I'm tempted by the devil, right? But Jesus answered, this is verse 4. But Jesus answered him saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," or by every word of God. So then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish," which, by the way, was a lie. "Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours." So to that we say, just compromise just a little. That's all you got to do. Compromise a little, and you'll get a lot. That's what he's saying. That's what the devil's saying to Jesus. Compromise a little and get a lot. Verse 9, Jesus answered and said to him in the Esposito vernacular, he said, "Hit the road, devil. Hit the road." Literally, he says, "Wow, this microphone is hot." Well, that's not what he said. What bad timing. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, perhaps your answer to that might be different. Your answer could be, when this happens to you, your answer very well could be, devil, it is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. He gives you the example. You might not quote the. You have got the New Testament as well. You have a greater weapon here than they had back in the Old Testament. You got the words of Jesus as well. It is written. That might be your answer. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, now we got trouble. We'll get to that in a second. It is written, he will give his angels charge over you. A devil's quoting Psalm 91. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. All right, see, now the devil has gotten so desperate that now he's going to try to quote the word now. Notice that. He tried to hit him with all this muck, and that didn't work, you see. So now he's going to use the word to get to him, same as he'll do with you too. He might try to get you to cheat on your wife, to commit adultery, to go out and do something, some kind of sin. And then when that doesn't work, you see, then the devil will come and he will misquote the word to you. Hey, if he tried it to the Son of God, and guess what? He wrote this book. If he tried it to him, pray tell, he might try it to you. What do you think? But he misquotes the word. So Jesus answered, verse 12, and said to him, it has been said, or it is written, it was written, but also this word was handed down by tradition. That's why he said, it has been said. You heard it from your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather. This stuff, the word of God, was handed down by tradition as well. I think that's why he said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, all these quotes all come from a book. Most of the church wouldn't be caught dead reading today, the book of Deuteronomy. Every one of these quotes all comes from that really forgotten Old Testament book. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended his temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Lesson, there's only one way to fight the enemy, and that is with the word of God. Same way Jesus did it is the same way that you and I do it, by the word of God. Jesus is our example of how to fight him. I mean, all he had to say to him again was drop dead, but he didn't. He said this for a reason, to show you how you are to stand against the evil attacks by the enemy. Do it the way he did it. Use the word. Our only weapon against evil is the word of God. Ephesians 6:17 instructs us to put on this spiritual armor, the Apostle Paul calls us, to protect ourselves and to use our weapon. Here's what the word says. Ephesians 6:17, it says, take or put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul builds this soldier. He was chained to a soldier. Probably he just looked at him and just wrote down what he saw to the guy that's handcuffed to him. And he had all this armor that he put on, but then when it came to his weapon, the sword, the weapon was one thing, and that was this. The word of God is your weapon. This is your only weapon. It's your greatest weapon. How is this secondary or second choice? It's the word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any sword out here in the world is this word. You know, that kills me watching all these I always grew up loving horror movies. You know, you see these exorcists and people, you know, like Indians or something. When all you gotta do is just use, the argument's 3 seconds long. Same as the evolution debate, it's 3 seconds long. It's 3 seconds long! It's not 8-hour debate. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Either you believe that, or you are and have fallen from the word of God, and you're an apostate. God said it. Let God be true and every man a liar. All you need to know is that God wrote it and said it. That's it. The day you stop believing that is the day you're really going to have trouble. Hath God said, upward the eyebrow. It's what the scientists, I read the other day, 98% of all scientists are progressively liberal. They don't believe the word. Those are the ones that count, just like up with the eyebrow. Oh, you don't believe that book, do you? You don't believe it. I need some tape. This whole message, I need to have my eyebrow up here and tape it up here. Nah, you don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that old muck, do you? Yeah. That's what the lie is. Don't believe the Bible. And with the exorcist, it's 30 seconds long. That's what I was saying to John over here this morning. I command, of course, if a person wants to be delivered. You read about all these wackos that are locked up and it's obvious that they got demons. And they give him drugs, and the answer is, I command you by the name of Jesus Christ to come out of this person. And that's it, it's done. Story's over. Because the word of God is all, it's your only weapon. This is all that you need to beat the enemy is the word of God. It's 30 seconds long, this debate. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Funny, too, the word for word is not the word logos, the name for Jesus, or the written word of God, but the word is the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, and that means the spoken word of God. Where it says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, it's not the logos, logos to theou, it's the rhema to theou. Spoken word. What Jesus did, it is written. Your weapon is the spoken word of God against the enemy. That will give you the victory if you believe the word. If you believe the word. All right, Lord. I think in Acts chapter 19, these seven guys, they weren't Christians, and they said, you know what? We cast out demons by that Jesus cat that Paul talks about. And the Bible says that them demons turned and they gave this guy such a whooping that he ran out of the house naked. Jesus is meaningless to you if you don't believe, if your name's not in the book of life. He's got to be the Lord your God. You can't quote the Bible if you're not a believer. You got to receive the word of God and become a believer. Have your name written in the book of life. Then all this power is yours. Once you have the Holy Spirit, remember that's the whole mystery of the entire New Testament. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once that happens, look out, world. Look out, world, once your name's in the book and you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, this is when demons fear you and when your name is on his bulletin board down there. And in the meantime, during your life, whether you've been a Christian as long as Donna or Ron has, or a newbie to the faith, you'll still hear the stuff no matter how old or young you are. You still hear, nah, I don't believe. Don't believe that word. What's God ever done for you? He's done a lot, hasn't he? He's done a lot. God always encourages to build some stones of remembrance of all that God's done for you in your life. Has God done a lot for you in your life? Are you guys grateful for all that God's done? If you healed 10 of us, I hope all 10 come back to give glory to God. Not like in the Bible says one came back. Jesus said, where are the other nine? Is there just one of you that's returned to give glory to God?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
You know what is wrong in America today? We have prophets whose title is P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet. Now, hirelings. They have not been called of God. Are you saying, Pastor, you don't think the pastor ought to be paid? Of course he ought to be paid. The Bible says, they that preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. The Bible says, the elder that rules well is worthy of double honor. But no man has a right to be a hireling, a professional in the ministry. I am convinced that there's not much in America that could not be radically, dramatically, and quickly changed if we just had a generation of preachers who would stand in their pulpit and without fear or favor preach the Word of God with the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God on them. I believe that with all of my heart. Preachers need to stop trying to win popularity contests. Today we have a generation of man-called preachers rather than God-called preachers. And because of that, they will not preach the Word of God.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.